One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. It's NBA Draft Week! And we got you guys covered. Today, I've got Rockets beat writer Kelly Eco and Pistons beat writer James Edwards III. Let's start at the top. Kelly, what's your feel for what the Magic are going to do at one? Is this just Jabari Smith Jr., or is the scuttlebutt that we're hearing have any relevance?
I mean, you know, people understand that Orlando is keeping things pretty close to their vest, you know, understandably so. They're in a very important position. But I think all signs are pointing to Jabari Smith. I just think that when you look at the most now ready prospect from a length perspective, from a skill points perspective, he can 6'10", can defend 1-5. He may not be able to create his own shot at a high level right now, but that's okay. He's still good enough to play from right now from day one. And I think that's why you see for weeks and months, Jabari has been mocked at number one. You will see some people saying for Chet and some people arguing for Paolo Banchero as well. But I think Jabari is the safest bet to go number one.
Yeah. James, any arguments, any qualms with that?
No, I think Kelly made good points. I think, though, that there is smoke. I think Chet's going one. There's been a bunch of like GQ profiles the last day.
Yeah.
Some SI Now stuff. Like, there's been like a little surge of Chet stuff. And I'm joking with that having to do anything to do with it. But I do think he has the most upside. And I think Orlando does it. I think it's going to get weird. I don't want to like spoil what we're going to talk about. I think it goes Chet, Paolo.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Jabari. I think we get thrown all out of whack, even with the Banchero. I'm from Seattle. They were gone when I didn't like the Thunder. All that stuff. I think it still happens.
Yeah. I cover the Thunder. I really think they're going to take Chet if he's there. And I think that they would take Jabari if he was.
If Chet went one.
Yeah. If Chet goes one, I think it's Jabari.
I would love Jabari and Che.
So I was talking to a scout that said, I think he compared Chet's body to Poku and said, even he called Poku's body the weirdest he'd ever seen in NBA. But the point he was making was if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, you don't shy away from Chet because you have Poku. Like, you need to get the best guy in right now. And like James said, Chet has the most upside for sure.
They would look like the number 11 in the front court.
Yeah, they do look like the number. That's my favorite number, so that's why they need to both be here in OKC. Okay, so at three, if it stays chalk, let's say that it does go Jabari, Chet, is it just Paolo Banchero and you cash it in right there?
I mean, I think at this point, I think that's safe money. I think obviously, and early on, there were talks of Ivy, there were talks of, you know, looking at other guys, but as you get closer and closer to Thursday, you know, some of the smoke goes away. And you understand that out of those three, the Rockets know Paolo the best. He's the only one that's visited them. And, you know, they got to spend time with him. And kind of similar to how this time last year with Jalen Green, how he came in late, but they spent the most time with him. And they got to know him as a person and as a player as well. So I think for Banchero, in regards to him and potentially going to Houston, I think, you know, it's pretty safe money there because, you know, he is someone that they want. They got the stamp from Jalen Green. And the last day of the regular season where he called him, you know, his brother and a guy that's a high-level offensive basketball player, you want to pair that with the Jalen Green that could potentially be the building blocks of a future going down the line. So Paolo at three just makes sense to me.
Yeah, I asked Sam Vecenie this question on the Saturday show, and I wonder what you thought, Kelly. Who, if you were to order the top three for Houston, for the Rockets' big board, how would you order those three? Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I think it will go Jabari, Paolo, Chet.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
I like that.
I think Jabari, Paolo, Chet. I think.
And I like the Paolo Houston fit primarily because I think that team needs like Dwayne Casey always calls it like a connector.
Yeah.
Just like a guy that can kind of, you could give the ball to, he's going to make the right reads. He's going to get everybody involved. He's going to make things look functional. And I think at times the Rockets haven't looked, I mean, obviously they're rebuilding, but they have young guards trying to figure it out. So they don't always look functional. I think Paolo is like a great fit for them. I like that pick.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age, you're seeing more and more teams have that kind of synergy with the backcourt, frontcourt playmaking style. Mm-hmm. You kind of look at something like, not akin to maybe the Pelicans with, you know, Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, but just from the sense of someone in the backcourt that can score and create, someone in the frontcourt that can score and create. And, you know, at 6'10", 245 is a grown man. Yeah. He can score from anyone on the floor. The defense obviously is going to be a thing, but he's 19 years old. I don't think they're going to shy away from him because he's not a good defender at this point. So
he reminds me of all NBA Pistons year Blake Griffin. Like I see, like not super athletic, but can pass the shit out of the ball, is strong, right. Will be able to space the floor, I think, a little bit better than people give him credit for. That's kind of who I like. See, like, I think things will just run through him.
Do you see any shades of, this might be a little weird comparison, but any shades of Danny Granger?
Ooh.
Throwback reference.
Ooh.
Granger. That was my squad, though, and whatever year Paul George was a rookie in 2K.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely more of a facilitator than Granger was.
Yeah.
And Granger was like a better deep range shooter.
More traditional three Granger was.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't hate that, though. I hadn't thought about that. Like, I could see, like, some of the comparisons. I like that.
Yeah, likes to get to his spots kind of in the mid-range, kind of like Granger did, too. So this draft is going to be a really fun one, and part of the reason that it's fun is that the draft starts at 4, in my opinion, with the Sacramento Kings,
agreed,
which is just like the two biggest wild cards that you could get, where we don't really know who should be the fourth player. I think that most people think it should be Jaden Ivey.
Yeah.
However, you have the Kings who have two guards that are going to soak up a lot of minutes. Are they going to take Ivy? Ivy hasn't worked out with them, hasn't visited with them yet. It's an interesting scenario here. James, as the you cover the Pistons,
right,
they're picking right before the Pistons, and they will determine the course of the Pistons franchise in some way because of who they pick. What's your feel for what Sacramento is going to do it for?
I think there's a lot to unpack. I think that Keegan Murray makes sense on paper. Like, I understand it. You see him going out to dinner and all this stuff. Like, they're really drumming it up. It sounds like to me, though, it's like almost too drummed up lately.
Sure.
And if people remember, like, the Kings took Luka out for dinner. We know how that didn't go well.
Yeah.
And I also think maybe more so than any owner that I can think of off the top of my head, I think Vivek wants people to come and watch his team. I think he wants people to be excited. He wants butts in seats. I think Jaden Ivey is going to be the pick. Whether or not they keep him or not, I still think they take him. And maybe they take him and figure it out later. Everybody's talking about Kings want to make the playoffs. Yeah, for sure. Right. I don't think they traded Halliburton because they don't want multiple ball handlers. I think they just really wanted Domantas Sabonis, and the way to get Domantas Sabonis was trading Halliburton. Like, I think Davion Mitchell is a good player, but I think he's a bench, like, six-man guy. Like, Ivy has more upside. When you factor in Vivek, the Kings wanting to draw up interest, I still think that, like, there's a fit that makes sense for Ivy, and if not, like, you can trade Fox and get good stuff. Like, I still think you just take the best player. That's just how I feel. I'd probably be wrong, but that's just how I think the Kings should go about it. They might not pick this high again. Might as well just go for the swing.
They're going to pick this high again.
they will. Well, I should say they hope not to pick this high again.
Right.
But they will.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Kings fans, if there are any.
Yeah. I mean, they've been trapped in like the middle of the lottery for a long time.
And yeah.
They've had luck a couple times. Most of the time, their pick actually gets worse after the lottery. That's been the trend with the Kings lately. But I think you're right. I don't think that you can look for fit here. I don't think you can look for anything but talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be, number one, it's going to be difficult to get talent to Sacramento without it being through the draft or trade.
Right.
Yep.
Period. And I just don't know what the move is. And I like Keegan Murray a lot, especially when you talk about fit.
Mm-hmm.
But in 5 years, would you rather have Ivy or Keegan? I think that's up for debate.
Yeah, like I'm more of a Keegan guy, but I understand why people would say Ivy. I get it.
Yeah. So
and that's kind of why I know a lot of people say the draft starts at 4. To me, it's with Detroit because you take, for example, Ivy, right? There are a lot of teams that want Ivy that
yeah.
like in the end that would jump up to get him, but part of that jumping up, you have to also think, what is five going to do? And yeah. James probably knows mm-hmm. more than anybody, but I'm saying, like, right. like who is number one on their board? Like, is it Keegan? Is it Ivy? Is it
right? Like, the Pacers Aaron? Have to think about, do we want to jump up? Like, if
right,
we think
because there's a risk.
Gonna, yeah, right.
Like, because mm-hmm. there's a thought process that says, maybe Detroit does like Ivy a lot, and they think that Sac could take Murray. Mm-hmm. Then it's like hedging your bets almost. So it's like, that's kind of why I see the draft really being wherever five goes. Because think about it, Detroit could do some wild stuff and go get Sharp. Like, you never know, like, anything could happen on draft night. Like, so yeah. I think from that point on, you're going to see teams like almost fall in line almost to a point.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So yeah. At five, let's say that Ivy's gone.
Okay.
Where do the Pistons go from there? Do they just take Keegan Murray because he's best player available and actually fits what they want to do? Or do they go Ben Mathurin? Where
I
do
think
they
it's
go?
Between those two, but I think Murray is the pick. Pistons fans are going to hate me if I say this, but I'm going to say it. I think if Murray were to go four, then there's a conversation, a real conversation between Ben Math and Ivy.
Yeah,
I think if Murray drops, Murray's the pick. I think not only is he kind of like a Troy Weaver guy, he kind of fits the Cade Cunningham, great player, not like super exciting, as like he's not a highlight reel. Sadiq Bey, good player, not super exciting. Isaiah Stewart, hustle, not blue like collar. A high flyer.
Yeah, blue collar guys. Yeah.
Blue collar, like Keegan Murray fits right in. Quiet, lead by like example, does his thing, like kind of follow, you know, Troy, Andrew, like that just kind of follows suit. And then it also gives them freedom to trade Jeremy and possibly add another first round pick and some more talent. So, I know that they've liked Murray. I've known it for a while. I know that they also like Ivy. They also like Ben Math. I think in that situation, the pick is Murray. I would be curious to see if Murray's gone. Does Detroit go Ivy or Mathurin? That one I wouldn't put any money on, but. I think it could go. I think it's less obvious than people think. That's just my two cents.
Yeah. Kelly, last question. Over under 2.5 trades in the lottery on Thursday night.
The lottery?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a high number, but
it is kind of high.
But I also
I'll go under. Now, if you're asking me from 15 through 22. Okay.
Yeah, let's go through 20. Okay. How many trades?
I'll take over on that. Okay. I'll take over on that.
Okay.
I'm with that.
I think Charlotte
has to move 13. I think so. Because I honestly don't think Mark Williams is going before then, and he's not going at 14 to Cleveland. So I think they can swing 13 and move that for a player that can help them now and then come back and get 15. Yeah. The Spurs, I don't know, you know,
they got three first round picks.
Yep.
But you
also another spot for Murray that just like makes sense in culture point. Yeah.
Because like you hear certain things, like one thing, and you never know how true any of this stuff is. You hear all this stuff, but you hear one thing I heard was there were some doubts to DeJounte Murray and his, you know, long-term future there. So, they're picking what, 9, you know, so, you know, if Dyson Daniels or AJ Griffin, you know, all these things can change in the heartbeat, but you know, it's pretty dicey. That's kind of why it's so exciting. You know, this kind of week.
Yeah. Thursday should be really fun. Be sure to tune in to the Athletic NBA show live on YouTube Thursday night, where you can hear our instant analysis there, and go check out Sam Vecenie's draft guide. Just dropped Tuesday. It's phenomenal work.
That is a monster.
It is. So go check that out. To stay up to date on all the NBA draft news, stay locked into The Athletic.